let us understand that in the book of Matthew, Jesus is merely trying to establish his identity. Here's the question. Is it easier to say thy sins be forgiven or arise and take up thy bed and walk? Which is easier? It's easier to say thy sins be forgiven than it is to say arise and take up thy bed and walk. Why? Because you cannot see a sin that has been forgiven. But you can see when Jesus says, a man who is paralyzed, arise and take up thy bed and walk. But which is most important? Hey, the most Bible students, that's the thesis of the text today. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24 reads on this wise, he bare our sins in his own body on the tree. Because that's the reason he came, to die for what? For the sins of mankind. Because you do know over in the book of James at about chapter 5, beginning at about verse 15, James talks about if any be sick among you, right? So you can see physical illness. You can see physical maladies. And then he says, if he has sinned, go to the elders that they what may do what? Lay hands on him and pray for him. Because it's the faith of men that believe that, yes, he can be healed. That's the story today. This paralytic is the same individual that you'll find in Luke, where his friends did what? Now you're with me. We've got it framed now, right? But I want to read this in your hearing because I think it also, too, allows us to bring this lesson into context so that we understand that it's not merely just us reading a story about how Jesus forgave sin of this paralytic and also healed him by merely commanding him to rise up and walk and go home. Because listen to this. I think this is apropos for us in that we need to understand that even in the Old Testament, listen to how it reads, and this applies to you and I. I'm reading from the King James Version, Psalm number 103, and I'm going to begin at verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Listen, here it is, verse 3. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. That's what we're talking about in the text today. First of all, listen. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities? See, it precedes, watch this, who healeth all thy diseases. See, the order of precedence, what's most important? Being forgiven of your sins or being healed of a malady? Forgiven of your sins. Notice the people glorified him, okay? They glorified him after they witnessed the paralytic rise up and go home. But they only glorified God as a result of what? The evidence of seeing a man who they knew they could. Hey, no doubt in my mind. Yes, he was a paralytic. And now he's walking on his own. But even they themselves need forgiveness, but they're starstruck by what? This man and his ability to exhibit the power to heal. Notice, you were here on last Sunday over in chapter 8, right at about verse 23, and watch this. Jesus is coming up into the area of the Gergarenes. and these two demonic individuals. Jesus just shows up. As a matter of fact, it says that these individuals were so waxed with those demons that others couldn't pass that way. But Jesus arrives, and what's the first thing that comes out of their mouth? They acknowledged him for who he was, didn't they? They say, what have we to do with you, Jesus, that son of God? So the ministry in Matthew, as we understand it, is that Jesus is establishing his identity. Remember over in chapter 3, he shows up to get what? Baptized by John in the Jordan. And no sooner than he does, the very next chapter, what happens? Spirit leads him into the wilderness to be what? Tempted by the devil. And in doing so, he establishes his identity. Because every time the devil challenged him, what did he say? He quoted the scriptures, which was the Old Testament. And then he moves out of chapter 4, and the Bible says he wasn't hungry. And that's when he then begins his public ministry, because he then gets to chapter 5 and he does what? Goes up to the mount. And he's literally there to do what? To teach the disciples. But others heard. And then that's how the crowd, because of what? The miraculous healings. And so it is today. When people hear of something that is unusual, an anomaly, they've never said, what do? Man, they show up in throngs. But they show up for generally for what? All the wrong reasons. So were these people. Because notice when the crowds departed, the Bible reads on this wise. And then he sat down and taught his disciples the meaning of what? Of the parables. And so that's how we get here to chapter 9. So here it is, Psalm 103, verse 3, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. Watch this, who redeemeth my life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Here's the introduction. That sin's guilt has been removed by Christ's blood is one of the greatest blessings we enjoy. Not only have we been rescued from sin's punishment, we have also been delivered from its power. Moreover, we will be delivered from sin's very presence in heaven. Forgiveness is a great blessing, perhaps the greatest blessing of all. While all of us want to be healed from a physical malady, but what's the greatest blessing of all? To be forgiven of thy sins. It's a requisite to what? To having a relationship with God. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, right? Amen. Reads on this wise, if we confess our sins, that he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. While God, listen, while God hates sin, he loves the sinner. Christ alone has the power and authority to pardon sin. It may surprise you. Turn to Colossians chapter 3. And let's look at verses 12 and 13. No one can forgive sin but God. Chapter 3, Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 and 13. I want you to see something. And if you're there, someone please read that, preferably out of the King James Version. Colossians chapter 3, only verses 12 and 13, those two verses. Forgiving. Forgiveness. Cleansing. You can be as physically healthy as you want to be, But if you have unforgiveness in your heart, it profits you nothing. Turn to Luke chapter 7. Let's look at verses 47 through 50. And I'm going to show you and prove my statement I just made in the text today. Luke chapter 7, verses 47 through 50. If someone would, please, ma'am or sir, and preferably the King James Version. This is an interesting passage of scripture here. Is that verse 50?
Okay, I'm sorry. And they that sat at meat with him began to say unto themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, thou faith have made thy made safe thee. Go peace, go peace.
Amen. They that sat at meat with him. Here it is. There's a Pharisee that invited Jesus into his home to sup with him, that is, to eat with him. This woman shows up with an alabaster box. She immediately, when she shows up, begins to weep. She kneels down at Jesus' feet, and as the tears are falling from her face, they fall on Jesus' feet, and she takes her hair to wipe the tears from Jesus' feet, which is symbolic of, just as Jesus tells this Pharisee, he says, listen, when I came into your home, you offered me no water to wash my feet. Watch this. In their hearts, here's what they're saying. If he knew who this was that was washing, which is to imply that evidently this woman was someone who was what? Of ill repute within the culture. Jesus says to her, woman, your sins are forgiven. He does the same thing here in Luke chapter 7 as he does in Matthew chapter 9. And he does it because notice what he says after he tells the woman that her sins are forgiven. What does he say? Your faith. So he says, who has been forgiven much? See, whoever has been forgiven much, they will also do what? Show much love. And here it is. A creditor. Jesus asked the question. He says, listen, a creditor, okay, had two individuals for whom they were in debt to him, 150, 500 denarii. He says, who then will love him the most? The one who was forgiven the 50 denarii or the one who was forgiven the 500 denarii? Now, if we want to bring it to our own doorsteps, I think we can. In your own home, raising your children, which one is going to come to you and express more love towards you predicated upon something they did and they receive lesser punishment than one of their siblings? Have you ever had that happen to you? And they say, well, you didn't do that for Jimmy. Can I talk? That's what Jesus was saying. And watch this, they're mumbling amongst themselves as to who is this man that can forgive sin? Because they simply did not want to recognize him for who he was. They rejected him. It's an act of faith. No man has ever seen God. So why do you love God? You don't have to answer that, but think about that. The changes brought about by the new birth are just as miraculous as physical healings. That's an important statement. Notice, the changes brought about by the new birth are just as miraculous as physical healings. New birth. If any man be in Christ, he is a what? Now, would you rather be healed from an infirmity and lose your soul? Or would you prefer, that your sins be forgiven, that you be justified by your faith in Christ, to know that you're going to spend eternity with him? Here it is. Jesus says to the paralytic, arise, take up thy bed and go home. We have medical science to thank God for, whereby, yes, we can participate in facilitating someone's healing, but it's yet still God who heals. But to be healed physically and yet still have sin in your heart profits you little. Until you do what? Exercise faith. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8, 9. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. And notice, he says, your sins are forgiven. Arise up and walk. Your faith. Hebrews chapter 11 about verse 6 says, those who come unto God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who do what? Diligently seek him. And we seek him because of what? Our faith. We exercise faith. We have an expectation that God is who he says he is, and therefore we come unto him by faith. We have a belief. Maybe even more so, the Lord is not shy about proving his authority to those who believe. Remember when he healed Jairus' daughter? He put folk out. Because and so it is for us. Story goes that a little girl growing up, she's there in the home with another little girl who was ill. She's left there at the house to take care of the little girl while the adults went to work in the fields to pick cotton. Well, on that day, the child died. So when the adults came back home, the little girl standing on the outside looking for them to come home runs out and reports to them that the young lady had passed away. They immediately go into the room and begin to pray. And the little girl was revived. We know that that's an anomaly in today's culture because we're not under that dispensation. But it says this, that because of these folks or those individuals, their faith, you're someone who's literally dead, but was made alive again. It's your faith that heals you, but it is God who healeth our infirmities and our diseases and restores us from a life of sin when we exercise faith in him to know that he can do what? Why would you have faith in someone who didn't have the capacity or the ability to forgive your sin? If that's a requisite for being born again. It's our faith that does that for us. Here's the facts. To see clearly the elements of this incident. Principle is to understand that only God can do certain things like forgive sins. You and I do not have the ability to forgive sin. However, we must learn, as we read in Colossians chapter 3, verse 12, 13, to forgive what? One another. The Bible, Jesus said it on this wise. You do not forgive, your brother, your sister, who you see every day, neither will your Father in heaven do what? Forgive you. Amen. We can forgive each other. We cannot forgive one another's sin. Amen. Here's the application. To live daily under the forgiveness of Christ. And all of us, not you but me, need Christ's forgiveness on a daily basis. On a daily basis. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 25 reads that I, even I, am he who blots out thy transgressions for my own sake, remember them no more. On a daily basis. Sins known, unknown, sins of commission, omission. We like to reduce sin to something that is big and you know, you can put a finger on it. But do know this, that even our thought life challenges us, because the Bible is clear that even the way we think in our heart, because you do know sin originates where? In your heart. It originates in your heart. All right, let's get into the text. Matthew chapter 9, beginning at verse 1. Sir, ma'am, if you would, let's read verses 1 through 4. Verses 1 through 4, we will see the act of divine mercy. An act of divine mercy. Amen. Anybody, please, ma'am or sir. Have mercy, Lord. Thank you, Brother Jerry. Act of divine mercy. Verse 1. And he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. Remember, he in chapter 8, he was there on the coast of Galilee, place called the Gerasenes. And so now, after what we witness in chapter 8, and we notice Jesus caused those demons to go into the swine, some 200 or more swine, and they go over the edge. Now Jesus gets into a boat, and it says that he does what? He passed over and came into his own city. His own city is what? Capernaum, okay? In the region of Galilee, which is the base of his operation. So he's back, okay, in Capernaum. All right? And it's notice verse 2, it says, and behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. Luke records it that he's at this house. Matthew leaves out details. He does not tell us that they're in a home. And yet again, were the crowds. In fact, the reason these four brothers had to go up on the rooftop because they couldn't get in at the door. So they climb to the rooftop and they do what? They tear open the roof and they lower this man in. And then we get back here and then notice what it says. And they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on the bed. Watch this, don't miss this. And Jesus seeing their what? Their faith. said unto the sick of the palsy. Now they being who? Whose faith? Who's the they? It's all five of them. The man sick of the palsy had to believe that he could and would be healed if he could just get to Jesus. And these four brethren, likewise. Man, we have so strong a faith. We love this brother so much, we believe he can be healed if we can just get in the house. So it is. Don't stay at home. You sick? Get in the house and hear the word and see how much better you'll feel. You may be sick in your body, but I guarantee you, read the word of God. It'll bless you. It'll take your mind off of how sick you are. Amen. And it says here, and unto the sick of the palsy, son, notice, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. Act of divine mercy. To refuse Christ is to reject our only means of eternal deliverance. Jesus gives some assurance of forgiveness. While these four men could have asked Jesus to come to the paralyzed man, they chose rather to bring him to the Savior. And behold, verse 3, certain of the scribes said within themselves, this man blasphemeth. Notice the order in which he speaks to the paralytic. He says on this wise, he says, son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven. He does not, in the preceding verses, even remotely deal with his paralysis. That's significant. Watch this. Why? Because God wants all people to exercise faith in his power to forgive sin. Doesn't even deal with his paralysis. Amen. Listen. So listen to these fellows, the scribes and the Pharisees. They say within themselves, this man blasphemeth. You ever been around someone when something significant, something transforming is happening to someone and they sit there and grumble and speak negative? And you ever had that happen to you, Brother Murther? It's a shame when something good is taking place in someone else's life based on whatever it is they've been dealing with. And then you've always got someone, the naysayers and the folks who have hatred and whatever else in their heart or in their spirit, rather than doing what? Rejoicing. Can I talk? These boys, they were so dead set against Jesus and all that had already taken place. Remember now, we're 9 chapters in, and these fellows have been following him around ever since he began his ministry, because they wanted to hear, didn't they? You do know that the scriptures were being fulfilled, because you do know that that's the only charge from within the religious sect was for blasphemous. That's how Jesus, the Jews, these Pharisees, these scribes, that was their charge. Now the Romans, that was something altogether different in terms of their charge. But the Jews was, he claimed to be God. Notice what it says here. And Jesus, not you but me, knowing my thoughts, no, it doesn't say that. It says knowing their thoughts, said, wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? Not you but me. How many times have you sat and something good was happening in the life of someone else, and you sat there with evil thoughts in your heart? Can I talk? But I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you. Turn. here's why they did it. Here's why they did it. Here's why they did it. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. And so it is in our lives. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Here's why they did it. Are you there? Would someone, sir, ma'am, if you will, read that for us, and preferably out of the King James Version. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Man, I love that passage of scripture. And so it is in our lives today. They couldn't understand because guess what? It was foolishness to them that Jesus could forgive sin. He's incarnate. He's the incarnation of God. They didn't want to recognize him for who he was. Now watch what he does. Watch what he does in the subsequent verses. But before we do that, let's do this. Watch this, because this will bless you. We are held accountable for our thoughts as well as our actions. I told you earlier. Your thought life is equally as damaging as any act you commit, because you don't act until you what? That's why Paul said over in Philippians chapter 4, right about verse 8, if there be any what? Think on things that are what? That are true, that are honest, that are just, that are pure. That are of good report, there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Because the writer over in Proverbs says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. I think I've shared this with you several times. I pray this daily. Help me to be aware of my actions, my attitude, my conduct, and my behavior. I think if you can get those four right there, you're on your way. That's why it's important to begin the day in the Word, because it sets the tone for your person and who you are and what you're going to. Amen. Now let's take a look at what these boys decide to do moving forward. Let's go to verse 5. Someone please, ma'am or sir, let's read verse 5. Yes, let's deal with verse 5 only. Please, sir, ma'am, verse 5. So we asked that question earlier. He's talking to the Pharisees. He says, well, let's get back to verse 4. Notice. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, you know he is omniscient. He, knowing their thoughts, said, wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? Kind of reminds you of the story in, remember Naaman and Gehazi? Naaman the prophet? I'm sorry, Naaman, Elisha the prophet, and Naaman who had leprosy, and Gehazi who was the armor bearer to Elisha. And remember, Naaman wanted to be healed of the leprosy, so he was bringing gifts to Elijah, and Elijah says, no, I don't want the gifts. And here's old crooked Gehazi. Guess what he does? He sneaks out, goes and tell Naaman a lie that Gehazi now wants the gifts. He gets the gifts, comes back, and tells Elisha that Naaman says, okay, I'll give you the gifts. And the Bible says it on this wise, that Elisha, because God had revealed it to him, because when he asked Gehazi, where had he been? He said, I ain't been nowhere. Jesus asked the question, he says, well, and Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, listen what he asked them, wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? He knows us. He made us. There's nothing that he does not know about us. There's nowhere to run and hide. The Bible says the eyes of the Lord are in every place beholding the evil and the good. Notice, so he gets to verse 5 and listen what it says. He asked the question. He says, for whether it's easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and walk. Which is easier? Thy sins be forgiven. Why? Because there's no evidence. You can't prove that someone's sins have been forgiven. But you can see the manifestation and the evidence of healing taking place in someone who has had some type of a malady. Notice the order that he does it. Thy sins be forgiven. Notice back in verse 2, he says, son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven. Which is most important? Being forgiven of your sins or being healed of an infirmity? James chapter, I want us to go there, chapter 5. Verses 15 through 16. James chapter 5, verses 15 through 16. King James Version, preferably. Are you there? If someone, ma'am, sir, read those two verses of scripture for us. Amen. Right. James chapter 5, verses 15, 16. Now listen to this. You know, the disciples asked Jesus about a lad. They said, Jesus, who sinned, this boy or his parents? Remember that? Jesus deals with sin in our life. Because it's more important for us to be healed spiritually than it is to focus on. You do know that these bodies are going to be transformed because the corruptness of this frame can't enter into heaven. Michael Jackson had all the money in the world. He could have gotten the best physicians on the planet. It proved that he obviously didn't because of what happened. Prince had all the money in the world. Could have paid for anything he wanted in terms of his health. But the question remains for the both of them. Had they been forgiven their sins and had a relationship with God? That's the question of the day. And they're not the only ones, are they? We can think of so many others. God wants to heal us so that we can be restored. And then in terms of our physical bodies, he's going to take care of that as well. But it's more important that we focus on the real problem in our life. And you want to know what the problem in our life is? Here it is right here. The heart of the matter is the heart. The heart of the matter is the heart. Jesus has the power to heal and forgive. Through faith in Jesus, we have the power to follow and obey him. Because that's the most important thing of all. To follow him and obey him. Paul writes over in Galatians chapter 5, he talks about the liberty that we enjoy. He says, however, use not your liberty as an occasion to the flesh. Whom the Son has set free is free indeed. But because you now have freedom and liberty does not give you the right to choose to do evil, suggesting that God's going to ignore the sin in your life. Because the Bible is clear. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And so that's what we're dealing with. The Pharisees were sitting there accusing Jesus of blasphemy because of their hearts. Now, so look at verse 6. Look what it says right there. It says, but that ye may know, notice, but that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. And then parenthetically, it says, then saith he to the sick of the palsy. Watch this. Arise, take up thy bed and go unto thine house. Notice, they could not deny. This man gets up, takes up his bed, and goes home. Surely, if Jesus has the power to heal the sick, how would it then be possible to doubt that he could forgive sin? Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, real quick. Got 5 minutes. We're going to make it. Matthew chapter 28. Are you there? Someone read, please. Ma'am, sir. 18. Yes, sir.
This is not King James Version. Right? Okay. Then Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth.
Are you hearing me? All authority. We are talking about authority to forgive sin. Not some, not a little, but all authority. That's in the Word of God. I didn't make it up. Deacon Ray just read it. All authority. Arise, take up thy bed and go into the house. And notice verse 7 says, and he arose and departed to his house. Faith, obedience. Most people profess to have faith, but not, you know what, not you but me, but they don't want to obey. And the two are not mutually exclusive. You exercise faith in God, then you must obey him. You do know the Bible says he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. James, over in chapter 4, verse 8 says, if you draw nigh unto him, he will do what? He'll draw nigh to you. Amen. Our lives, listen, should be examples of gratitude for the Lord's blessings. Should be examples. The songwriter says, I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Look back over your life, not yours, but mine, and see where God has brought you from. The saints of old would sing songs such as "The Places I Used to Go," "The Things I Used to Do." And then another songwriter says, "A change has come over me." Can I talk today? That's why we come. That's why we're here. To learn how to more thank God for his blessings and to be more obedient to his word. "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." John chapter 8, verse 32. "Ye shall know the truth. Sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth." John chapter 17, 17. When you get his word down in your spirit, because that's the only way that you can be changed, we're changed from the inside out, then our lives ought to demonstrate that through the examples that we've been given by Jesus. And so we demonstrate our thankfulness, our gratitude for those blessings. We're becoming. We're being saved from sin. We're being saved from the power of sin, and we shall be saved. We call it sanctification. We've been justified by faith, but we've not yet been glorified. But we shall be. Amen. Listen. Verse 8. "But when the multitude saw it," what did they do? And what else? Which what? And still didn't recognize Jesus for who he was. Notice what it says. I didn't make it up. It says right there. It says when they saw what? They saw what? It, the paralytic, what? Healed. They did what? They marveled. And glorified God, which had given what? Such power unto who? Unto men. They don't even recognize the effulgence of God, the radiance of God. Through Jesus, we may do great things on earth in order to glorify the Father who is in heaven. John chapter 5. No, John chapter 15, verse 5. Jesus talks about, "Except the branch abide in the vine, it cannot bear fruit." Then he goes on to say, "Except you," that is us, me and you, "abide in him and he in us, apart from him, we can do nothing." So it is, save the Spirit of God is in you, you can do nothing, especially to glorify God. This Christian walk is not about your flesh. Matter of fact, Jesus says no flesh can see God. Because we're going to take off corruption and put on incorruption. In closing, it was appropriate for the people to glorify God for the miracle they saw, but they also needed, watch this, to embrace the truth that the miracle taught. And that's why you got to be careful when you watch these television ministries and so forth and the things that people are saying and misusing God's word and the pulpit for gain or deceiving others. There's no miracle in water that comes out of the Jordan today. You go over there and get a bottle about that. No. There's no miracle in no olive oil that you say that came out of Israel off the olive tree and you watch them crush the olives. And No. We're not under that dispensation. Are you hearing me? Christ has come and has died for our sins. And not only did he die, God raised him from the dead. The cross is not an emblem of shame, but it's an emblem of victory over death, hell, and the grave. They should have humbly fallen before Jesus in repentance. That's you and I. Seeking the forgiveness he offered the man he healed. They should have sought the same forgiveness. Let us not be so distracted, watch this, by temporal considerations that we fail to grasp and appreciate the spiritual life found where? Only in Christ. Amen, amen, and amen. Do you receive the day? God bless you.